Last week we had talked about sanctification of the Holy Ghost, which you need the Holy Ghost to be sanctified. And so if you do not have the Holy Ghost, these will be great principles and pointers, but you will be frustrated if you try to do these things and not have the Holy Ghost. Because where there's no grace, there's frustration. Trying to do it by yourself is not sanctification. That is frustration. Frustration. And you feel like you'll never live up. But as I said last week, we talked about sanctification. I heard it put one way. A man said that sanctification, he said, it's restoring something back into its proper function. And it had me thinking about that each and every one of us has a plan that God has set for us. And the process of sanctification is to put us back into that plan that he has for us. Amen. He's trying to restore us into the proper function, into our the proper plan that he set for us. And so it's just like it's been marred. An object has been marred or messed up, and God will take said object, set it apart, cleanse it, and use it as his vessel. Just like in the temple, they use shovels or things to scoop up ashes, but I mean, you could find that anywhere. But God said, I'm going to sanctify that. I'm going to pour gold over it, change its appearance, and use it for just the brazen altar. It was just for that. Couldn't it be used for anything else? It was just for that specific purpose. Amen. And so God has a plan for each and every one of us individually, and sanctification aligns us with that plan. Right. When we are cleansed by him, and then he uses us in that plan. And so one of the greatest ways to become sanctified and continue in that process of sanctification, because it's the process of sanctification is relative. That is, it's going to continue on. Now, the doctrine of sanctification, that's absolute. That's never going to change. God has always required sanctification. Amen. From the beginning of the Bible till now. But the process of it will always be continual as we grow spiritually and we mature in God. And so one of the greatest ways to remain separate from the things of the world and the world system and from sin is to live under God, is to guard our eyes and to guard our ears and to guard our mouth. And so those are what's known as the gates. And so we're going to talk about guarding the gates tonight. Gates are entryways that permit passage into an entity. It's a twofold purpose. They allow things in, but probably more importantly, they keep things out. Right. And God has designed mankind to have the ability to see with their eyes and hear with their ears, mm-hmm. and to taste and speak with their mouth. And we learned how to use these gates in the natural from childhood and up. And since then, we seemingly have some control over what we see, what we hear, and what we speak or taste for. But even more importantly, this is a great parallel and a great matter in the spiritual realm, because what you and I allow through our eyes and our ears and what enters and leaves our mouth will always affect our spiritual man. Amen. Even if you try to not allow it affect you, it's always going to affect the spiritual man. Amen. The gates will always affect your mind. That Greek word is psyche. It's always going to affect your faculty of thinking, how you see things the way you see it, and then your heart as well, which is your inner man. That is who you are. And so whether consciously or subconsciously, it's going to affect who you are and what you think about things. And so you can understand a person just by what they say, who they are, based on what they allow through their gates. And so we're going to talk about all three tonight, Lord willing, and we'll try to get through this. Not going to rush, but just want the Lord to move. And there's a lot of scripture. There are no blanks, just because I want to focus on the scripture. And thank God for our media team who put in all the scriptures. Praise God. So, and so the eye is the organ of the visual system in our body. And the natural function of the eye is to see and receive images in its pathway. Wherever you look, wherever you're looking, that's supposed to receive. You could probably, if I told you look to your left and then close your eyes, you could probably remember everything that you just saw. And then you probably had a thought about the things that you just saw. And so that's what the eye does. The eye sees something. It sends basically signals to your brain saying, and then your brain makes a determination of what you saw. And so the Bible shows the function of our spiritual eyes and why they need to be guarded. And so Lamentations 3:51, the eye affects the heart. Jeremiah said, my eye affecteth mine heart. Because the things that we see puts us in a spiritual position where it's going to affect our heart. It's going to affect our inner man, the innermost part of our being. It doesn't matter what you see. It's doing something to your heart. It's going to move you in some kind of way, whether you choose to acknowledge it or not. And so we want to, this is the most, probably the top thing, that's probably why it's first, is because we have to understand that the eye affects who we are. And so when we have that understanding of that the eye affects who we are, that's going to put us in a place to be vigilant to what we allow in our eyes. The eye is the light of the body. Matthew 6:22-23, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, that is undivided, not looking anywhere else, but if it's single, if it's complete, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, then great is that darkness. That is, if you take in darkness through your eye, you have darkness in your soul. That's just what Jesus said. What we see and receive through our eye eventually cleaves to our soul. Psalms 101:1-3 says, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? And he says, I will walk within mine house with a perfect heart. Notice he said, my house. He didn't say, I'm going to walk in the church with a perfect heart, which is something you need to do. But he was saying, I'm going to walk in my house with a perfect heart because it's a personal thing. And so he said, I will set, that is, I'm not going to purposely put anything before mine eyes. No wicked thing before mine eyes. And then he says, I hate the work of them that turn aside, in reference to the wicked thing. And it says, it shall not cleave to me. Because he was saying the things that we allow in our eyes and through our eyes is going to cleave to us, whether it's good or bad. Whether it's good or bad. It will cleave to you, which we'll get to in a little bit. The eye gives vision, which leads to destination. I'm sure we've heard of a lot. In Genesis 13:10, it says, Lot, what did he do? He lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that is well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, which was a wicked city, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you come unto Zoar. And then eventually we read that Lot eventually ends up, pitched his tent towards Sodom, then he ended up in the gate of Sodom, then finally he had to be begged to leave Sodom. Right. And so our eyes give us vision, and then it'll lead us to our destination. So the question is, what are we focused on? Where are we headed? Where are our eyes headed? Right. And there's commands and warnings given about the eye. Matthew 18:9 says, to pluck it out if it's sinful. He said, if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. Cast it from you. It's better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. That's Jesus speaking. He's saying it would be much good for you that you take out your eye. Now, obviously, it's not naturally, but he's talking about if you did do it naturally, how severe it is. He's saying the severity of the situation is this. If your eye is causing you to sin, you need to pluck it out so you don't go to hell. Right. This is his words. He says to turn it away from vanity in Psalms 119:37. The psalmist prayed, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. What is vanity? Vanity is worthless, unprofitable things. The psalmist prayed, he said, turn my eyes away from anything that is not worth looking at. If it's there's no profit for me spiritually, if there's no profit for me at all, don't even allow me to look at it. Amen. I don't want to look at anything that's not going to help me. Turn my eyes away from it. I don't want to entertain that. And then sin tempts us through the lust of the eyes. In 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. That is the cosmos, the world system, the rebellion and opposition that is against God. That is what's in the world, and that is what is trying to entice us to sin. And so that is something we ought to pray over our eyes every day. And also we need to focus on eternal things, not temporal things. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. That is, they're going to pass away. It doesn't matter. It's going to pass away. But the things which are not seen are eternal. And so he's saying we need to be focusing on the things that are eternal. That is holiness, because these things are going to keep us in God. And these things are determining our eternity. So just a reminder, what you allow in and what you put in, you can't get out through your eyes. Amen. Now you can forget, but it's going to be in there. That's why you still have what? Memories. Because what's allowed in, it's not going to get out. And so what we allow before our eyes is the on the outside is the reflection of our heart on the inside. So what are some practical hindrances to the spiritual eyes? Things like ungodly film, right. Movies, mm-hmm. Video, right. Literature, novels, and even news articles nowadays have no tame on them at all. Right. And when you read, the mind is painting a picture on your brain. Right. You don't have to actually see an image if you're just reading it. So we ought to be mindful of the things we're reading. That is on social media as well. There's some vivid pictures being painted on timelines nowadays. And so I really made this these handouts so you can study it. Because obviously this is not even an exhaustive list of the scriptures that could be talked about. Mm-hmm. But you can go look it up if you have that hunger to do so. And just measure yourself by those scriptures. And so the ears. The ear is the organ by which we hear. The natural function of the ear is to hear and receive sound around it. And that sound is sent to the brain to determine what that sound was. The ear also brings balance. And so the Bible shows us the function of the spiritual ear and why they need to be guarded. And then there's faith is based and built upon what we hear. Romans 10:17 said, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But, and I know we always see that, but if you hear something long enough, you're probably going to believe it. Amen. So if the world is pumping these things into our ears, we'll probably end up believing it. Exactly. And we'll end up building a faith that is actually true, right. Which if it's a lie, then we're believing a lie. And so the ear is an instrument of discernment. Job 34, verse 3 says, for the ear trieth words as the mouth tasteth meat. Because I'm sure you've done it where people have said things and you're like, I don't know if that's true. That's how we do with words. We have a discernment and we see whether or not these things that people are speaking are true or not. And so hearing with the ear is connected with obedience. In Deuteronomy 6:4, it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That word hear is Shema, which is more than just hearing, but it's obeying what you hear. It's a commandment to obey. You just don't hear it, but you have to live out and obey that the Lord our God is one Lord. that you're not going to worship and serve other gods.
Amen.
And so it's more than just a, you know, I hear it, okay. But it's a hear that's connected with obedience. And what the ear hears affects the emotions. Genesis 3:10 says, "And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself." When Adam heard the voice in the garden, it moved his emotions to a point of fear. And so there are things that cause us, that moves our emotions by what we hear. So there are commands and warnings that about the ears are to give ear, to hear, receive, and act upon the Lord's commands. Exodus 15:26, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear," that is to literally pull your ear and give it to him, to these commandments, "and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I'm the Lord that healeth thee." It's kind of amazing how all we have to do is listen and we can be healed. Says to take heed how we hear. In Luke 8:18, it says, "Take heed, therefore," this is Jesus speaking, he says, "take heed, therefore, how you hear." Because he was giving parables and he was telling the disciples, you need to make sure how you're hearing it, you're, for one, hearing it the right way, but two, that you're going to act on what you're hearing. You need to make sure you're hearing it the right way. So you need to take heed, therefore, how you hear these sayings that I'm about to speak to you. Why? Because whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seems to have. And then the disobedient have dull ears. Hebrews 5:11 says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing." That is, you don't do anything when you hear the word of God. That's being dull of hearing. And that it was actually prophesied that the people who were disobedient had dull ears, and Jesus quoted that toward the Pharisees, people who thought they were living right and thought they were doing the right thing, but they were dull of hearing. And it also says the deceived have itching ears. In 2 Timothy 4:3-4, it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables," that is, turned unto lies.
Right. Right.
And so eventually dull ears become itching ears when the word is not being acted upon.
Amen.
Paul said that's a sign of the last days. He said, you're going to be, for one, in Hebrews he says dull of hearing, but then he said this perilous time is coming, and there's going to be people who have, who only want to hear what pleases them.
Right.
They don't want to hear what they need, but they want to hear what they want.
Right.
And so that's known as itching ears, or a tickling of the ears. So some practical hindrances to spiritual ears: ungodly music, media from the world, ungodly music, media from the world. You see, because the ear brings balance. And if what you're hearing in here, and if you're listening to something else out there,
right,
you're spiritually unbalanced.
Amen.
I'm spiritually unbalanced. If I come to here, to the house of God, and I hear the word of God, but then I go to my house or I leave the church, and I'm listening to something else that is contrary to the word of God,
right,
it's causing an unbalance. And it's also known as hypocrisy, because you're not lining up with the truth.
Amen. Amen.
And so there's some more scriptures that you can look at on the bottom of that. Well, the mouth is different from the eyes and the ears, being that it both receives and it gives. The natural function for the mouth is to taste and to speak. And our tongue tastes something, the brain then determines what it was that we tasted, or whether or not we like what we tasted. We may not know what it is, but we also use words to speak. The brain will formulate words, and then it speaks. The Bible shows the function of the mouth and why it must be guarded. What we speak comes from our heart. Matthew 12:34 says, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance, that is a lot of things, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You can't fool anybody. What you speak is what you speak, and that is who you are. It's just impossible. So whatever's going to come out is who you are, because it comes from the heart. And we use our mouth to pray, to praise, and to worship. And Psalms 51:15 was a prayer of David in repentance, but he also said, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. And there are many other scriptures that I can go along with that, but that's just one just to get you started. Amen. And then the mouth confesses what the heart believes. In 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Because you can tell what somebody believes by what they speak, because they'll confess it. The Bible says that with the heart, man believes, and then he confesses. And so just as you can say consciously, real consciously, you believe something. But when you just start speaking with somebody, kind of just let them talk, you'll see what they believe. It'll come out. It'll flow out.
Yes. Amen.
And then the mouth has creative power. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Also there is Genesis 2:19. That's when Adam gave names to the animals. And so he literally not created them, but he spoke it over them, and they were in relation to God as well. That's what God did. So some commands and warnings given about the mouth. Set a watch over your mouth. Oh, praise God. I pray this every day. Seriously. It says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Because, you know, you just say some crazy things sometimes. Say things that you didn't mean. So just pray, God. Just let me say what I'm supposed to say. Nothing more, nothing less, Lord. And then it says, let your speech be without corruption. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication. That word corrupt literally means putrefied. Let no putrefied thing. That's a state of decay. Let no decaying thing leave your mouth. Don't let it even proceed from your mouth.
Amen.
But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. He said, don't even say anything if it ain't going to be good.
Amen.
And when he says corrupt, like I said, it's a state of decay. So if you're speaking something that's decaying, then your heart's decaying.
Right. Exactly.
Well, praise God. Then there's a warning against gluttony. Because remember, we put things into our mouths as well. This says in Proverbs 23:2, I believe, or 25:16, one of those. Have you found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest you be filled therewith and vomited. It also says in another proverb, to put a knife to your throat if you're a man given to appetite. Hello, somebody. All right, moving right along. I almost put on the bottom of that spiritual hindrances buffets, but I was like, nah, I won't put that. I mean, it'd be true, but I wouldn't put it. I'm not going to. Got to keep it spiritual. Stay spiritual. Come on. Oh, praise God. But, no, it's true, though. I mean, I'm really talked about, you know, we do like to eat, but we need to, for one, seek God on what we eat, and then two, make sure that we're not overeating,
right.
Closet eating.
Amen. Exactly. Amen.
y'all know what I'm talking about. I just need some honest people tonight. We're going to get really honest tonight. Yeah. Praise God. Seriously. God hates a mouth that lies. Proverbs 6:16 through 19 says, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination. He hates it. Doesn't tolerate it. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, which a heart that would devise that is probably going to speak that. Feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. In 8:13 it says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth, that is twisted speech, perverted speech, do I hate. God hates it. He doesn't like it. And so the remedy is simple. If you fill yourself with the things of God, there will be no room for the things of the world. So once again, there's a decent amount of scripture that you can go look up and all that if you want to. But Satan has he's ordered a scheme and a trap for us. He will use entertainment to engage all three of these gates for our spiritual detriment. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel neck stiffening right now. I feel hearts hardening right now. But we're going to talk about it tonight. He'll use all three spiritual gates. We'll take him, these ungodly things, through our eyes. Right. And we'll listen to these things. Mm-hmm. And then Satan says, go get a TV dinner. Yeah. Hello.
Right?
Right? Is that not what happens? Right. You walk into movies, what's the first thing you see? Food.
Exactly.
It's just to get you all sucked in. All three gates at work.
That's right.
We're going to be real tonight. Come on.
That's good. Amen.
Like, we don't act like this don't happen or something.
Amen.
See, entertainment is a trap.
Amen.
We were at Because of the Times, and Terry Schock got up there, and he was like, I was preaching hard against Hollywood or whatever. And he says that a lady emailed him at the church, and she said, you know, Brother Schock, when you can preach about against Hollywood and stuff, just don't preach about, you know, what about those movies like Courageous and Facing the Giants? And he said, if I knew that everybody in the church was just watching that, I wouldn't be preaching against Hollywood. Hello, somebody.
Amen.
So let's break this down. Entertain comes from the word entertenere. Okay, it's a Latin word. First word of entertenere is inter. It's a prefix. Okay, but that's inter, not enter. So inter is like a mutuality, an agreement between two or more parties. So where we get words interdependent, interdepartmental.
Amen.
And then tenere means to hold on to. So entertainment is two-party. Entertainment is a two-way street.
Right.
If somebody got up, you ever seen somebody try to make you laugh and you're like, that's foolishness. Therefore, that's not an act of entertainment because you weren't entertained. Even though they were trying, they weren't entertained. You weren't entertained about it. It's a two-way street. And so entertainment is two parties holding or agreeing with one another. Because in order for entertainment to be entertainment, there has to be an entertainer and a person who's being entertained.
Right. Right.
And so there's an agreement between one person or a party and the other party.
Amen.
The entertainer saying, I'm going to give you this. And the person being entertained says, okay, I'll take this. I'm going to take this. Entertainment. So we did entertain. But when you add ment is just a suffix, but it denotes the resulting action of the subject. That is, it has your attention. That's why it's a stronghold. Because it holds our attention. And so, oh Jesus. So, if we're allowing ungodly things on the other side right. to entertain us, we're in agreement with it. The Bible says, we read this last week, what doth the temple of God hath what? Agreement with Belial, the gods of this world. Listen, what church is against Hollywood? Now, Brother Byers, he preached the church is predestined to be with Jesus. That's a fact. Now, whether you are part of that church or not, that's up to you.
Amen.
I'm trying to tell you, Hollywood's against the church. They don't care about the church.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And so we allow these things and we're saying we're in agreement with it, right? Jesus asked a very interesting question to the Pharisees who were trying to demean his ministry of casting out devils. And they said, oh, he just does it by Beelzebub. And Jesus asked the question, how can Satan cast out Satan? Because you can't rebuke what you entertain.
Amen. Amen. Right. Right.
If we're in agreement with something, you can't rebuke it because you're in agreement with it.
Amen.
Else you'll be divided. And so, if we're in agreement with rebellion and witchcraft, you can't rebuke rebellion and witchcraft. My Lord, you can't rebuke it. You can't. And some of our houses, and listen, you're talking to somebody who grew up watching these things, not knowing these things. I was fed these things. And we're trying to pray things out of our house that we're allowing into our through our TVs and through our phones and through our tablets.
Right. Yeah. Right. Amen. That's it.
You can't rebuke perverted spirits if you're entertaining that.
Right. Right. Amen.
Amen. Oh, Jesus. Because the thing about it is that this is a stronghold on the church in America. Colin, you're playing with my fun. No. No. God's more concerned about your future than your fun.
Amen. Amen.
Because this is, and if we get a hold of this, ain't no telling what God can do. But this is one of the last things that an apostolic was probably going to have to give up is entertainment.
Amen. Amen.
Probably one of the last things. But we can't just go and watch all these filth. It's just filth. It's just simple as that. It's filth. I can't get away from this. I'm sorry. because you see, what we do is that we try to justify it. And we try to see God in it, which everything has a truth in it, okay? Everything has a truth in it, okay? But the thing about it is there's a spirit behind these things.
Right.
Hollywood does not want the church to prosper.
Right.
And you got to think about these Hollywood elites who's pulling strings. Listen, this... Somebody's thinking, like, you're a conspiracy theorist. No, 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 no. You understand what these people do to get these roles.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Heath Ledger. Oh, yeah. Y'all ain't seen The Dark Knight or something? Hello? Heath Ledger. The Joker. Got to channel yourself into these things. What do you mean channel? Yeah, receiving that spirit so they can play that spirit.
Right. That's it. That's it.
You see, oh, Jesus. Oh, Father. Oh, Father. Jesus. There's a movie out there right now. This is the agenda, though, because you have to see the agenda. If you don't see the agenda, you're never going to get this. The agenda is twisting the truth and calling good evil and evil good. There's never been so many movies now that glorifies the bad guy and says that the bad people are good and that really the good people are bad and that they're just trying to ruin the fun. Suicide Squad, really? Really? And then this is the whole point. And then because we like it, listen, I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just trying to expose them. I wish we had a whole service where we just start exposing some stuff. Because this stuff is garbage. But of course, we wouldn't tell you when it would be because, I mean, you may not show up. And so it would just be like a trick or something. It's like, we're not going to have deep calls in the deep, just a normal service. Praise God, just a normal service. Just a normal service, guys. That's all it is. But in all seriousness, and then what happens is that we like it, and then we adults like it, and then what Satan wants to do, he wants us to be so fanned up about it that we give it to our children.
Right.
Colin, you have kids. I don't need kids to see it. That's exactly what happened to me.
Right.
Exactly what happened to me. And God bless them, you know, they didn't know. I'm 9 years old watching Training Day. Gonna be honest, come on. 9 years old watching The Exorcist, come on. And just got portals. Just portals and the spirit just moving through. Spirit just moving through. And influencing. Oh, Jesus. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm being sincere right now. I really am. But we've got to let go of these things. You know, it's a process. Listen, Colin Taylor ain't perfect, okay? What? But you got to see these things for what it is.
Right.
It's an agenda they're trying to push. And there's more supernatural stuff that they're putting out there more than anything.
Yeah.
And then we wonder why we can't have a move of God in the church because we're feeding ourselves with all the supernatural that our spiritual man has. Yeah? We feed ourselves with the supernatural stuff before we get to church.
Right.
But you we can't expect God to move for the King of Glory to come in. Hello?
Amen.
If we want watching Sons of Anarchy.
Amen.
Oh Jesus. It's these type of things because we're feeding ourselves with all this, and then we're coming to church full.
Right.
All the supernatural that we were going to give, we gave it to what we're agreed with.
Amen.
I'm sorry, I can't move on. I know it's 8 o'clock. I can't move on. The Holy Ghost is going to keep us right here until he lets me go. You know, this is agenda. Like I said, they're calling evil good and good evil, okay?
Yes.
I just saw this trailer. Now, like I said, I ain't care. Do what you want to do. It's not going to be up to you. I'm just here to expose it. I'm just here to do whatever I need to. Some trailer for Venom, okay? The comments in the trailer. This is what it says. Embrace your anti-hero. And then right after that is a dude. Okay. Jesus, what? It's speaking to the man, we're going to do this together, as if he's a demon.
Yes. Yes.
That's okay. I know we ain't, not all of us are going to receive that, but I'm just saying, that's stuff that we're just allowing in, and we're getting desensitized, and we're thinking it's okay, and then we're saying, oh,
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
Oh, well, it's not really not that bad. That's okay, though. Okay, now I can move on. So if that doesn't convince you, if the ungodliness doesn't convince you, it's a time stealer.
Right. Yes.
Because some, oh, Jesus, some of us can, listen, Colin Taylor is the, been guilty, okay? I sent this prayer request out, what was that, 2 years ago? I was still living at my mom's house. And God, like I said, God bless them, they don't know, you know, but NBA playoffs came. And I said, and I was sincere, I was like, listen, NBA playoffs are here. I could sit down and watch the whole game. Every single game. That's like 4 hours. But I ain't got time to pray. I ain't got time to read the Word of God. I ain't got time to go and help out the church. But the game's on, though. Bible says redeem the time. You got to redeem it. Ain't nothing being redeemed sitting in front of the screen. I can tell you that right now. And I never felt so spiritual after I watched a basketball game, okay? I'm just saying. I didn't feel real spiritual after that. In fact, I felt kind of tired. I was like, I'm just going to turn it in. Praise God. Lord Jesus, keep my soul. Like I said, we're just going to be honest tonight. That's all. But it's a time stealer. Some of us will go, Father. We'll watch two-hour things and what the world calls binge watching things that are terms for an addict.
Right. That's good. That's right. Yeah. Amen.
Terms for an addict. Mm-hmm. Listen, like I said, this guy, I get it, man. I get it. I first sat and watched, 14 seasons in a row one time. That was like 5 years ago, something like that. But then it just dawned on me, like, what am I doing in my life? Like, come on, man. Like, really? This stuff's not even real. That's what's crazy. That's what blew my mind. That's what it just came to. It was like, this stuff's not even real. I'm like, I'm giving my time to something that's not even real.
Right.
It's stealing my time. And then I'm wondering why I'm struggling to pray and wondering why I can't focus in prayer because this thing has my attention.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
We got time to give ourselves to marvel. Can't marvel in his presence.
Right. Oh, that's good.
Right.
Amen.
Look, Colin Taylor knows, okay? Look, I get it. You got time for DC, ain't got time for JC.
Amen. That's right.
Like, Jesus, I know, okay?
Amen.
I'm just saying.
Right.
But these are, I get it. I had to be the guy. I still love you. I just hope you love me. You got to make it to heaven to love me, though. So you have to. You got to love me. If you want to go to heaven, you got to love me. Praise God. I'll just be honest. Just being honest right now. It's stealing time. You know what I'm saying? This is just bottom line. I mean, think about it. I mean, just calculate it. I mean, really, just calculate it. And then calculate your prayer time. Calculate what you what you're doing in the Word.
Right.
Calculate what you're doing, you know, with fellowships. You know, because you can't put all that stuff in you and then expect to not come out.
Right. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Time stealer. Ooh. Everybody, all right? We all good, right? I still love y'all. I really do. Really do. Cool. You know, it's where we're going. That's all. It's just where we're going. This is where we're going. Praise God. 2 Kings, chapter 23, 5 through 22. It's a pretty lengthy verse, but it's something that, it's very true. This is in the reign of Josiah. He was a king, and this was when Israel, or Judah rather, was wholly given to idolatry, and he was made king, and then he just got a revelation. And it says, then he removed the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense on the high places in the cities of Judah and the places all around Jerusalem. Those who burned incense to Baal, to the sun, to the moon, to the constellations, to all the host of heaven. He brought out the wooden image from the house of the Lord. They had idols in the house of God. They were they came to church, but were worshiping a different God. And then to the book Brook Kidron outside Jerusalem, burned it at the Brook Kidron. He didn't just burn it, though. He grounded it to ashes.
Right.
And then that wasn't even enough for that. Then he threw the ashes on the graves of the common people because he said, I'm going to utterly detest these things.
Right.
Then he tore down the ritual booths of the perverted persons that were in the house of the Lord, where the woman wove hangings for the wooden image. And he brought all the priests from the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burnt incense, from Geba to Beersheba. Also, he broke down the high places at the gates, which were at the entrance of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were to the left of the city gate. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places did not come up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they ate unleavened bread among their brethren. And then he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or daughter pass through the fire to Molech, because they were giving their sons and daughters, their babies, as sacrifices.
Right. Amen.
In other words, there was babies being killed in the land. Sound familiar? Then he removed the horses that the kings of Judah had dedicated to the sun at the entrance to the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the officer who was in the court. And he burned the chariots of the sun with fire, the altars that were on the roof, the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord. The king broke down, this translation, I believe it's New King James, it says, pulverized it there. And then what did he do? He threw their dust into the Brook Kidron. Then, see, that just wasn't enough. He's doing a full cleansing. He said, I'm cleansing everything. Everything has to go. Everything got to go. And then he said, the king defiled the high places that were east of Jerusalem, which were on the south of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon, who was a king of Israel, had built for Ashtoreth. And Ashtoreth was the god of sexuality.
Right. Amen.
Sound familiar?
Yeah.
And the abomination of the Sidonians. For Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, and that's also Molech, which was also child sacrificing through the fire, and the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he broke in pieces the sacred pillars. He cut down the wooden images, filled their places with the bones of men. I mean, Josiah wasn't holding back, okay? He said, I'm getting rid of everything. Everything that's going to keep me and keep this land and keep this people from getting to where it needs to go and being right with God, I'm getting rid of everything. And I'm just going to get rid of it. I'm going to polarize it. There's no way you're going to get back to this stuff.
Right, right.
And he said, moreover, the altar that was at Bethel in the high place which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin, had made, both that altar and the high place, he broke down. And he burned the high place. And what did he do? He crushed the powder and burned the wooden image. Now Josiah also took away all the shrines of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger. And he did them, and he did to them according to all the deeds he had done in Bethel. He executed. He killed. He didn't care. I'm not saying go out and kill people. Just throwing it out there. But if there's a celebrity you're worshiping, you ought.
Amen.
Can't be keeping up with the K's. Nah. I'm serious.
Amen.
There's folk that follow them, love them.
Amen.
All them Hollywood elites. They don't care nothing about it. Then they got Jay-Z calling himself Jehovah. See, I'd say we just need an expose one night. I'm trying to tell you that's because Jay-Z and Beyonce ain't going to save you. They got a church of Beyonce. What do you think they're trying to call themselves? Okay. All right, moving on. That wasn't in my notes, but that's cool. Made altars, burned men's bones on them, and he returned to Jerusalem. Then the king commanded. See, you can't just cleanse and not do anything.
Right.
Because you're going to find something else to do. Trust me, you will find something else to do.
Exactly.
Okay? You're going to find something else to do. It ain't going to be, it's probably not going to be spiritual. It's probably going to be on the flesh. I'm just saying. And he says, then the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover to the Lord your God, as it is written in this book of the covenant. because this is the key though. Such a Passover surely had never been held since the days of the judges who judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. Listen, this is hundreds of years. This is Samson's time they're talking about.
Right.
That a Passover wasn't held like this one,
right,
where there was such a move of God.
Right.
Hundreds of years. Why? Because he cleansed the land and he cleansed his household of things that were ungodly. And I'm trying to tell you, and this is the awesome thing about sanctification, okay? When we sanctify ourselves, when we cleanse ourselves from the things of this world and replace it with the things of the Spirit, we can have a move of God that we have never had before. If each and every one of us, even tonight, just went and cleansed out our houses. I mean, just do a housekeeping. I mean, we all got to do it. Just do a house. Just say, God, anything you don't want in here, get it out this house.
Right.
Amen. If we did that individually, and then we came to the church in that place of seeking the holiness of God,
amen,
we can have a move of God,
right,
that we've never experienced and had before. Never, such a Passover surely had never been held since the days of the judges. We're talking about beyond Azusa Street moves of God.
Right, right. Amen. That's it.
Hundreds of years, we can have a move of God. That's if you want it, of
right,
course. And so that's that. And so I'm closing. And like I said, I didn't come up here trying to be rude, trying to be crude. I'm just here to tell the truth, okay? Because at the end of the day, these things affect us.
Amen.
And we're wondering why we're not even growing spiritually.
Right.
There's idols in our houses that we don't even know about.
Right.
We're so spiritually blind.
Amen.
That there's just God sitting in our house. Time to clean up house. Clean it up.
Amen.
Because at the end of the day, that stuff ain't going to save us. As much, and I get it. It's entertaining. It's fun. Yeah, it's funny, whatever. Yeah, all that stuff, yeah. But that stuff ain't going to save us.
No.
Sports ain't going to save us. Somebody here struggling with a competitive spirit, stop feeding yourself sports. That's the whole point of sports, is to overcome somebody else. That's Philippians chapter 2. Let there be no strife, no vainglory. That word strife is to get ahead of somebody.
Amen.
Yeah, clean that stuff out. Oh, Colin, you must be some holy guy. Listen, how do you think I got this message? I'm cleaning house. You always got to clean house. That's what I'm saying. Sanctification, you always clean house.
Yeah.
You continue to clean it up.
Amen.
When God sees that you're fit and ready, he says, let that go.
Right. Amen.
It's as simple as that. Well, I say it's simple. You know. But once you let it go, I mean, it's really like, you're like, I can't believe I desire that. That's so dumb. That's so stupid. But in all honesty, I mean, if we clean up house, renovate this house. Because this house,
right,
can't be in agreement with the idols of this world.
Amen.
It can't.
Amen.
You can't. And Jesus said, if you're not with me, you're against me.
Right.
You can't serve two masters.
Amen.
And if entertainment is, we're agreeing with the entertainer,
right,
we can't serve God. It's impossible.
Right.
Oh, praise God. Let's lift our hands. Let's just let the Holy Ghost minister. Let's let the Holy Ghost speak.